Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, you're listening to a best of Montana Talks.
Tulsi Gabbard, great to have you on this show. What's your message to Montana? We'll just jump right into it since we're short on time.
Thank you so much. It's great to join you this morning. We have a very clear choice in your U.S. Senate race, just as we do in the race for president. It really is a choice between a person who stands for freedom, peace, and prosperity for all Americans versus a person who stands for more government control, less freedom, censorship, and more war. That's really what it comes down to. And the choice in the national race is between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. And the same choice is there between Tim Sheehy and John Tester. I endorsed Donald Trump yesterday in a speech before the National Guard Association with soldiers and airmen from every state and territory across the country there in the audience, specifically because I know the same thing to be true that Tim Sheehy knows, as we know the cost of war, as you do. We have seen the consequences of politicians who put their own self-serving interests and their own power or attempts to look tough ahead of the interests of the American people, our national security, and peace. So, for anyone who is undecided at this point, it's important to recognize that in this election specifically, the choice is not about are you a Democrat or a Republican, or do you like this person or like that person? There's far much more at stake here. This is a choice between freedom and peace or living in an increasingly tyrannical society and at war.
We are on the brink of World War III. We've seen mass weaponization of government, a mass censorship operation across the country, Zuckerberg admitting to his role in that with Facebook. So this isn't just about right and left anymore. This is really about basic core common American values that are under attack right now.
That's right. And when you look at what happened at the Democratic Convention, which, by the way, John Tester avoided because even he sees how radical and insane the Democrat Party has become. But John Tester is guilty of the same thing as Kamala Harris. In speech after speech, including Kamala's speech, she says she is for freedom while she is using companies like Facebook and other means, including the national security state, to censor people. She talks about secure borders while she lets millions of illegal immigrants stream across our borders. She talks about defending democracy when she tried in every single possible way to undermine democracy and the rule of law to try to keep President Trump off the ballot. John Tester is guilty of the same thing. They say one thing, and they tell us lies to our face, but their actions tell the exact opposite story. And that's going to be the most important thing for us as voters to look at as we head into this election. Early voting starts very soon in many states across the country. Look at actions and record, not the lies that these politicians, these fake politicians, try to sell us.
John Tester has never even said thanks for your service to Tim Sheehy and his wife, who both serve. I've had Democrats that I disagree with, and I can still thank them for their service and honor their service. What's the deal there?
That says a lot about who John Tester is and what he values. I fully support Tim Sheehy in this race and encourage Americans who love our country and peace and freedom to vote for Tim Sheehy.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. The Senate never permitted remote voting or proxy voting like the House of Representatives did during the pandemic. But Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell is defending the right of Congress to permit voting by proxy when members are absent. In a brief filed in federal court by former Attorney General William Barr, McConnell says he is personally opposed to proxy voting. But citing the Constitution, McConnell says the House and Senate have total authority to determine how they conduct business. McConnell's position puts him at odds with the vast majority of House Republicans. However, in February, a federal district court judge in Texas ruled that the House's use of proxy voting violated the Constitution. The judge ruled that the Constitution requires a majority of members be physically present to conduct business. The ruling, if upheld by appellate courts, threatens to unravel large and complicated legislative packages adopted with decisive votes cast by absent members. McConnell said establishing such an ironclad restriction would be debilitating for Congress and threatens its ability to conduct business. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Providing the
song.
love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
When I smoke weed, I get lost in the music. I like to isolate each instrument. The rhythmic bass, the harmonies on the piano, sticky melody.
Careful, babe. There's someone crossing the street.
Sorry, I didn't see him there.
If you feel different, you drive different. Don't drive high. It's dangerous and illegal everywhere. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Cash Patel now with us on the phone lines. Cash, an honor to have you on the show. I tell you what, every time I've seen you in the national news media, I've been a big fan of your efforts. So thanks for being with us this morning.
Hey, I'm happy to be on the radio in Montana. I love the western states. I'm just a little south of you in Nevada.
Well, I tell you what, I was reading more of your official bio. I knew that you had served as chief of staff to the Secretary of Defense under the Trump administration, but man, what an incredible bio you've got with a background in counterterrorism. I think, did I see at one point, you were like the Justice Department liaison officer for JSOC. So you've got a very distinguished background in the national security space.
No, it's very nice, but for me, it's where I got to meet great people like Tim Sheehy and amazing special forces operators, and get on the front lines to make sure we get these guys everything they need. So happy to support Tim and his Montana bid. We got to take that state back red.
Yeah, it's the most important Senate race in the entire country. Speaker Johnson said this again on Friday. President Trump has said the same thing. Many of us believe, especially our fellow veterans, seeing all these blinking lights all over the world, like even the current FBI director has pointed out, the Biden-Harris tester policies have got us on the brink of World War III. What's your take?
It's a little scarier than that. I hate to say it, but I think we're already at World War III. Remember, President Trump, when I was running his national security mission over at the DOD or at the intelligence community, we wound down out of multiple forever wars. When Harris and Biden came into office, they allowed World War III essentially to take off in two places, in the Ukraine and in Israel. In the Ukraine, after Vice President Harris met with Vladimir Putin, you know what he decided to do the next day? Invade Ukraine. And after Biden and Harris gave $7 billion to the Iranian regime and the Ayatollah is the number one state sponsor of terror in Iran, you know what they did? Just a few months later, invade Israel. So these people have brought us to World War III, and there's only one man that can bring us out of it.
You know, it's crazy. President Trump, and you were there, I mean, he was working to bring about world peace, peace like we'd never seen before, peace agreements between these Arab countries and Israel, and finally standing up to the terrorists in Tehran. And now I was just talking with a friend who has spent several years living over in the United Arab Emirates. And she was telling me how the place is just crawling with Russians and crawling with Chinese right now. Just crawling with Russians and Chinese because of the way that Biden and Kamala Harris went in and destroyed that peace process.
Yeah, this is a detrimental effect to the United States of America with what are supposed to be our number one allies in the world, in the war on terror and so many other issues in the oil sector and everything else. And instead, what are they doing? Joe Biden and Kamala Harris don't even make the call sheet anymore. Joe Biden gets stood up on the runway in Riyadh and is forced to wait for hours for even being received by a kingdom and a country that used to be our top ally in the region. Because they don't care. They don't fear a Joe Biden and Kamala Harris anymore. And it's not even that. They don't respect them because they offer them nothing because they have no diplomatic skills or international lasta left. And so what do? They turn to our adversaries and make trade deals with them and talk about shipping weaponry and machinery to Iran and talk about doing oil trades with Venezuela and Iran, all of those which are only going to hurt the United States of America. And it's all happened on Harris and Joe Biden's watch because it's really simple. They have no policy to get back on the world stage and make sure America is at the number one position it needs to be.
From your perch as the chief of staff for the Secretary of Defense, overseeing our incredible American military and her troops, seeing what you saw under the Trump administration to what you're seeing right now under the Biden-Harris administration, how big of a contrast is it?
It couldn't be wider. It couldn't be more stark. I mean, it's really simple. Look, President Trump prioritized the no-fail mission of the United States, the defense of this country, by going out and taking out al-Qaeda senior leadership, by taking out the emirs of ISIS, by bringing home American hostages, by taking on the narco-traffickers both at the border and south of it, by shutting down the slave trafficking and taking on CCP fentanyl and so much more. Oh, yeah, and ending the forever wars. Those were his priorities. Pretty simple, pretty apolitical, and he let us run with it because he had so much waft on the world stage to help the diplomatic negotiations that we were able to put in the operations behind it. And what did Joe Biden do? His first movement of the Department of Defense, first movement for the Harris-Biden administration for DOD, was on climate change. You can't make that stuff up. Then they went on to DEI. Then they went on to white rage. When you have your Department of Defense crushed by its politicized leadership, you hurt the men and women who bravely wear our uniform every day. And that's why we need to send folks like Tim Sheehy to Montana. I mean, Montana has got to be a Republican state, and it's going to be the Senate seat that breaks the back of the Democrats. We're going to send President Trump to the White House, but he's going to need a Senate majority with brave warriors who've actually fought in combat, unlike the guy in the Harris-Waltz campaign who lies about it, to serve in Washington because he's going to go there and put the American people's interests first. We are not going to start more forever wars on the watches of Donald Trump and Tim Sheehy.
Yeah, you know, I first got to meet Tim Sheehy and his wife, Carmen, when they first got out of the military and started creating jobs here in Montana. And what incredible people. So when his name first started showing up, I was like, this guy's incredible. Big fan of his very early on because I already knew them and what they did for their fellow veterans. But I think for those who were maybe initially skeptical, when they got to see him speak and hear his message and his passion for this country at the Trump rally, I think they're all like, wow, no wonder this guy became the U.S. Senate candidate. I mean, it's just impressive. But we need him to win to save this country right now.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We need him to win. We need Kerry Lake to win in Arizona. We need Sam Brown to win in Nevada. We need Bernie Moreno in Ohio. We need McCormick in Pennsylvania. We need to win all these critical Senate races. This is what we need to tell Americans. It's not just the presidency. We need to take a bigger majority in the House, take over the Senate so that we can deliver a Trump agenda with laws and budget and appointees, most importantly maybe than anything else, to serve his administration and serve his needs.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
A study from USDA's Agricultural Research Service has once again confirmed the value of livestock grazing as a tool to protect western rangelands from devastating wildfire. The Public Lands Council, which represents cattle and sheep producers who hold federal grazing permits, hails this research as more proof of the important role livestock grazing plays in protecting the nation's natural resources.
Are you concerned about the impact government policies could have on your cattle business? One way to make your voice heard in Washington is by joining NCBA. When you join, you'll be part of the nation's oldest and largest national cattle industry organization that has a professional team working in Washington, D.C. on issues that matter to cattle producing families nationwide. Don't stay on the sidelines. Make your voice heard by joining NCBA today at the website ncba.org.
The National Pork Producers have unveiled a new strategic investment program called the Young Pork Advocates for young individuals ages 18 to 22. This initiative is expanding on the National Pork Producer Council's strategic investment program and aims to empower young advocates within the pork industry. More information can be found at National Pork Producers Online Resources. On this Labor Day, stay safe and have a great day out there, friends. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
She's a junior at the University of Montana. She's also a Division I athlete. So she's a student athlete and she's a student journalist who actually did some great journalism and broke this big story yesterday. There is a dark money group supporting Democrat Senator John Tester
that basically put an offer out to student athletes at the University of Montana, trying to pay them to do paid political endorsements supporting John Tester. But some of the students are refusing to take part in that endorsement, and they're citing his vote to allow men to compete in women's sports as the reason why they won't endorse him, even with a paid political endorsement. Anyway, we've got that journalism student and that Division I athlete. Lily Meskers is on the phone lines with us right now from the journalism building on the University of Montana campus. Hey, Lily, first off, great job, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Yeah, I know. I'm really excited. I felt when I first got this email that this was going to be a pretty groundbreaking story with just how relatively new NIL is, and these type of political endorsements haven't really been seen before. So when we got this email, I was like, you know, this is something that people deserve to hear about. This is something that needs to be talked about.
When did you first hear this story that they were offering paid political endorsements here?
Yeah, so this is about early August. And the head, one of the executive athletic directors, Jean Gee, actually reached out. She just forwarded an email that said that the group Montana Together was looking for student athletes to endorse John Tester's campaign, whether that be talking about his policies that he's done, things they're passionate about with John Tester. And they were offering a pretty good sum of money for it, too.
Not just a student journalist, she's already doing journalism and doing it the right way, raising the questions that need to be raised. I'm surprised this story has apparently been out there and none of the other so-called journalists ended up breaking this story, but it's so great to have Lily Meskers on the show with us right now, a student athlete and a student journalist at the University of Montana. So, Lily, what was your reaction like? Because obviously you covered this story, but you're also a female athlete, and you've seen female athletes, especially in track, lose opportunities because of men identifying as women and then stealing trophies and stealing opportunities away from women and from girls. So what was your reaction? And then describe the reaction of some of your other fellow student athletes at the University of Montana campus.
Yeah, so I think me and a lot of the girls on the team honestly shared a really similar reaction to this. And why would we endorse something that fundamentally goes against us? As women athletes, you know, we work really hard to get to the level that we're at to be Division I athletes, and to have biological men take away these positions from us, it's really frustrating. And so when we got this email from Tester asking us to endorse him as athletes, it was kind of like, you know, like, well, where is there your endorsement for us? Where is you standing up for us as female athletes? And a lot of these male athletes wouldn't stand a chance on their biologically assigned teams, which is the male teams. So we're having opportunities stripped away from us. We're having trophies stripped away from us. And who knows, maybe in the future it might be scholarship money that we as female athletes work really hard. And there is fundamental differences between male athletes and women athletes. So when Tester sent this email out, it was a lot of us felt pretty frustrated because, once again, like, we want someone who endorses us back and who supports us back. And this vote against women wasn't something that we wanted to endorse.
You know, it's crazy because, you know, obviously we know about this. We know about John Tester's vote, as you reported here. His votes did not sit well with Montanans, especially apparently female athletes here. This was his 2023 vote against the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act. The act worked to amend Title IX to ensure that only biological women and not men could compete in women's sports. So what's amazing to me is that most in the Montana media have totally ignored this story. They've ignored John Tester's vote. They have refused to even do any coverage that is in any way whatsoever questioning John Tester's votes. And yet somehow that news got out on campus. So your fellow female athletes know exactly how he voted.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, people describe Tester as a moderate person, but this vote against the Protection of Women and Girls Sports Act was not a moderate vote. And I think most of Montana would absolutely agree with that. You know, this is not a moderate vote. This is a direct hit against women's sports.
You quoted one student athlete here, Katie Whitehurst. She's a senior track athlete at the University of Montana. She said, quote, "I stand by biological women competing fairly in women's sports, and the offer seemed guided towards only one political party." Now, maybe that's just because one political party is the only one that is offering up this type of a paid political endorsement. To me, even if you take the women's sports angle out of this altogether, the fact that they are offering paid political endorsements to student athletes, that's a huge news story in itself, because it's been pretty rare elsewhere across the country so far, right?
Yeah, absolutely. NIL was established in 2021, so there's pretty few regulations on what you're allowed to post about. Of course, you're not supposed to post about anything that goes against your athletic department's viewpoints, as in like drinking, smoking, alcohol, anything like that. But it's pretty unregulated in politics. So when we got this endorsement deal, a lot of us were questioning, you know, how is this going to affect our eligibility? Are we even allowed to do this? So it's pretty unheard of amongst NIL deals right now.
Well, one of the questions later in the hour, I've got a great sidekick who's going to join me on the show here, John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter. He's retired federal law enforcement, lives here in Montana, has got a big following on X. But he raised a good question, which is, okay, if this was offered up at the University of Montana, we've got to assume here that it was also offered up to Montana State University, maybe even Carroll, Rocky, Tech, some of the others. Have you gotten wind of this potentially being offered up at other college campuses in Montana as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I was researching this to write this article, I emailed a few student athletes at Montana State, and they hadn't yet received an email from their athletic department. So I don't know if that means that the athletic department stopped that message from going out or if they just didn't get it in the first place. But this NIL offer on the email said it was available to all Montana college athletes. So it was available to everyone in the state that was a college athlete. But as I know of right now, only our school received it.
Did anybody say, well, you know what, hey, groceries are expensive, gas is expensive, I'll take the money. Did anybody take the money?
Absolutely. So I had a friend, and he was like, you know what, I'm going to apply for this. This is a great amount of money. He applied for the one that was, I believe, $2,400 for four Instagram Reels, which is like an Instagram social media platform. But he didn't end up completing the videos on time because he decided, you know, as a student athlete, I don't know if politics are something that I want to get into just because I don't know how it will hinder my experience as an athlete at Montana. But a lot of people were extremely tempted because for a student athlete, you know, when you don't have a lot of time to work, so $2,400 is a ton of money. So I think a lot of us were really tempted by that amount to even give these endorsements regardless of what we felt.
Yeah, Lily Meskers, gotta ask you, are you concerned about repercussions on campus? Now, I went to the University of Montana, and it was about 50-50 when I was there, but there can be some nasty, vicious folks on the left, especially on a college campus. It sounds like your fellow student athletes are with you, but are you concerned about potential repercussions or retaliation from, you know, doing actual journalism here and breaking this story?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's always going to be something that's going to cross your mind is what are people going to think? What are people going to say? You know, this is a hard-hitting story and not everyone's going to agree with it. But at the same time, what I value more is what's important about the story and why do people need to hear it? I value more holding people accountable for their actions rather than what repercussions I face. I think that's what our media is designed to do, is to act as checks and balances. And so at that point, it's more important for me to share the story than to face whatever backlash I'm going to face. I mean, University of Montana does tend to be more liberal-leaning now, but it's not something that I'm truly deeply worried about because I know that the journalism that I'm doing has a purpose and it's going to serve that purpose. And that's what holds more precedent and more value to me.
Well, and I'll tell you what, I know, there's some great folks, especially in the journalism, you know, department there. Denise Dowling, she was there when I was there. She's just such a remarkable, remarkable professor. And I know she's still there and doing good things. And so you've got good folks there on the campus. But also, I know our listeners across the state, and I know there's some powerful organizations that will have your back in a heartbeat. If there is even a wind of some sort of repercussions or retaliation against you for breaking this story.
And that's amazing. And I cannot be more grateful for that support, too. And, yeah, like you said, Denise is one of my professors here, and she's amazing. I do feel like a lot of support from a lot of people here, for sure.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The Federal Reserve System was established in 1913 to bring the resources of the federal government to bear in heading off the panics and depressions that had been so ruinous to the economy and history to that point. Much later, in the late 70s, Congress decided that while they were at it, the Fed might as well keep unemployment as low as possible, too. We wanted to invest in electric vehicle technology and manufacturing capacity. But while we were at it, we wanted to help unions as well. We want a robust national defense. But while we're at it, we've decided to give preference to minority businesses, paying prevailing wages for construction projects, requiring American-made parts for government contracts. The disease of while we're at it is rampant in the public sector. Perhaps this is an inevitable part of the political process that creates the spending in the first place. But the cost of this indulgence is enormous. Witness the billions devoted to building factories to produce semiconductors here. Because of all the while we're at it clauses, not a spade of dirt has been disturbed. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, you're listening to a Best of Montana Talks.
All right, great to have Navy SEAL veteran and Republican U.S. Senate candidate Tim Sheehy in the house here in studio, Montana Talks. Tim, good to see you. Thanks for dropping in.
Always a great view from your studio here, and I love it.
It is. It's a great day heading into a great weekend. You got to be feeling good. I just saw another poll just came out. What was this, Rasmussen Reports or something came out? Here we go. Tim Sheehy, 50%. John Tester, 43%. Rasmussen Reports. That is another post-Trump rally poll. The other one that I heard about, I think the nonstop local TV stations did a poll that had you widening your lead there. I think that one was a six-point lead. But you got to be feeling good about the polls. You never want to take them for granted, of course, right?
Yeah, I mean, we always got to run like we're 2 points behind, like any competitor, until we cross the finish line. I mean, we're not going to let up on the throttle. So just today, we'll Harlotton yesterday, all over Billings last night. Today, I'll be up at St. Mary's Siphon Project today in Malta, and then going to Belgrade to the Gallatin International Speedway tonight to see some folks at the racetrack and shake their hands and meet some folks there. So making the rounds. But yeah, it's clear our message is resonating. We're running a grassroots campaign. We're not running a basement campaign and buying $200 million of live-filled TV ads that nobody listens to anyways. We are traveling all over the state, all 56 counties. We've been to many of these communities. You know, we've been to Glasgow, I think, six times now. We're going to Malta now for our third visit. And just going everywhere, and most importantly, listening to people. Not just talking, but listening. Shaking their hand, looking them in the eye, and saying, what are your concerns? What does your family need? What do you want to see? What do you want to see the future of this country look like? And I think that's resonating, because in a state like Montana with, you know, million people, 600,000 or so voters, people talk to each other, and they don't believe what they see on the TV or on YouTube, but they will listen to somebody they trust. And I think all the hands we've shaken, all the town halls we've had, is paying off.
Well, and I think, too, I've told folks this before. A year ago, I know there were some folks that were skeptical. They're like, hey, I've never seen this guy involved politically. Yeah, he's not a political hack. I was like, but I got to know this guy through the veterans community. I knew fellow veterans that got a job working for you at Bridger Aerospace. And so I was like, man, this guy's the real deal. And I think more Montanans got to see that at the Trump rally. There were a lot of people that were at that rally in Bozeman that, yeah, they know Trump. They're all in on Trump. But they never got to see and hear you speak yet. And they're like, holy cow, this guy is impressive. And so I think that's what's happening, is the more people actually get to see you, actually get to talk to you, actually get to know what you're all about, they're like, man, this guy is the real deal. Meanwhile, this fake, phony flip-flopper, John Tester, 2 days ago, he's at the Wilma with his liberal celebrity buddies, and he says, my race is actually not the most important one. The most important race, what he basically said, is electing Kamala Harris as president, but now he's backtracking and he's flip-flopping because he can't be honest with the people of Montana. What a phony.
That's exactly right. I mean, that's why he can't get out and do these grassroots events. That's why he's got to hide behind his $200 million Democrat wall of ads and let them do his speaking for him. I'm not doing that. You know, I'm not running name-calling slander ads like he is. I just don't believe in that, because frankly, I don't think that's becoming of the office. It's also just doesn't get things done. People want to hear about how you're going to fix these problems. And you're absolutely right. I mean, John Tester recruited Kamala Harris for the Senate when he ran the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee in 2015. He's responsible for her political rise. Got her into the system, got her elected Senate, and then, of course, has been a loyal foot soldier for the Biden-Harris-Walsh regime the entire time. Every piece of policy legislation that came through, he supported it. And now he wants to act like, of course, One hour he says it's so important we get her elected, but then refuse to actually endorse her. So this is classic two-faced Tester, you know, just wants to tell everyone what they want to hear and then wants to go vote in lockstep with the other side. And that's how he's survived for 30 years. He's an excellent chameleon at, you know, trying to basically say whatever the room wants to hear without any connection to his actions. And as you said, I've never run for anything before, not student council, not city commission, not county commission, you know, whatever you, this is my first time running for anything because I see how important this 2024 election is for the future of our country. We have to take this country back. We have to bring common sense back to our government. And we have to have people in our government that actually want to solve these problems and put Americans first.
I'm pretty excited. You talked about heading to Malta today. I'm going to be in Havre tomorrow. I'm actually going to be at Big Sandy. I'm going to be in Big Sandy tomorrow afternoon.
There's a lot of Tim Sheehy signs in Big Sandy.
I've heard there's a lot of Tim Sheehy signs in Big Sandy. So, yeah, you've had some events. But we're going to be doing an event in Big Sandy where we're talking about Bidenomics and talking about how Joe Biden and John Tester have delivered this massive inflation. Kamala Harris had this massive inflation. And, yeah, they were very happy to welcome us to Big Sandy. But I think you've had a pretty good welcome to
Big
Sandy.
We had a fantastic event there in Big Sandy just a few months ago. I was up just in Big Sandy the other day at Rocky Boy Reservation as well for the powwow days. And, you know, we had the Mint there in Big Sandy packed, you know. And everyone there, they're like, hey, we're John Tester's neighbors, and we want him retired because it's about time we save this country. So even a small town like that where you know, he's from, that they recognize that he's not working for them.
You know, it's funny. Kamala Harris, over 30 days now, refuses to do a press conference, even though the press will go easy on her, mm-hmm. right? John Tester finally popped up out of hiding for his celebrity buddies in Missoula, and he took some questions from a canned press conference down in south of Missoula, I think he was. He didn't get any tough questions. What questions would you have asked Liberal Senator John Tester if you were going to be there doing the job that these journalists, these fake news media folks in Montana are refusing to do?
Absolutely. Very simple. You say you've been fighting to secure the border. How come after 18 years it's wide open, you haven't fixed it? You say you fight for veterans. You're chair of the VA committee. Why do we have record high veteran suicides? Why is Montana the number one state for veteran suicides in the entire nation, John Tester, chair of the VA committee? You say you're going to fight against Biden's radical agenda. Then why have you voted for it every single time it's been on the ballot, John Tester? Why have you always voted for it? Why have you unequivocally been a rubber stamp for everything Biden Harris have ever done? You say you're fighting against it. Why did you vote against Trump's judicial nominees when you knew that they were going to put America first and support our Constitution? Why did you kill the nomination for VA Secretary Ronnie Jackson, who actually wanted to fix the VA? Answer me those questions truthfully right here, because your record shows what you've done. Now I want your words to match your record. And watch him squiggle and you know, run out of the room faster than Navy SEAL, because when the tough questions are asked, that guy can move.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, yeah, he's a mover. We got a mover. Somebody's
squirter,
trying to squirt out here.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like you've probably been on an operation or two over in Iraq or Afghanistan. We got a squirter. We got to go.
Yeah, and for listeners, a squirter is when you're hitting a target, you know, a catch or kill target, and you know, when one of your potential targets or someone part of the enemy group on the target literally busts out the back of the compound or jumps out the window and starts squirting, which is running out the back away from the target so it doesn't get captured. That's what's called a squirter. And so
all I picture is your Navy SEAL teammate and fellow rancher Greg Putnam jumping on the back of John Tester as he's trying to run away from the tough questions and trying to tackle him down to the ground. You know,
but you're right. You know, he's dodging the media, and he doesn't need to, because they're not even going to give him softballs. They'll give him T-balls. They'll put it on the tee and back away and let him warm up and hit it. You know, meanwhile, for us, they're throwing flaming arrows at us every day, which is great. Keep them coming, because we've been handling it for a year and a half. We're going to keep handling it. And guess what? The more they try to take us down, the higher we're going in the polls, because people recognize what's going on, which is John Tester has been lying to their face for 30 years in office. He's not solving their problems. And people do not like to be lied to. They don't like to be told that, hey, I'm going to do this for you, and then you do the opposite. They don't like that. They don't like to be told, hey, I'm putting veterans first, but I'm going to vote against veterans' choice health care. They don't like to be told, hey, I'm going to secure the border for you, and yet you vote time and again to open the border and then literally pay for migrant flights all over the country.
We had a caller ask a very good question. I want to get to that. Did Travis, make sure I don't forget to ask that one. Somebody just called in and asked Travis to relay a question for us here. But before I get to that, you talk about, you know, the lying campaign commercials. And you're right. John Tester's been lying to Montanans for 30 years, playing this phony, fake game. Public lands, public access is one of the things he's really been lying about. I think one of the most powerful ads out there right now features Casey Walsh, the founder of Sims. On this topic, the founder of Sims, incredible company. In fact, my father-in-law just told me yesterday he finally got his hands on some Sims fishing waders that he's been wanting to buy for some time now. But Casey Walsh is not a partisan hack. I mean, I know over the years he's supported Democrats, he's supported Republicans.
You heard him say he voted for Tester twice.
So yeah, he voted for Tester twice, but he's backing you. So I think that's a powerful voice countering this fake, phony BS that they're putting out on public lands.
Well, and Casey and I share a fence line, you know, with our ranch. So he sees how we care for our land. He sees how we're good stewards of our land. And he also knows that I literally put my life on the line to protect our public lands. Just Tuesday, Wednesday this week, I was out fighting fires in California because our pilots are crewed out. I'm a reserve pilot. So we were normally, you know, for our aircraft, we're protecting communities during an urban interface or we're helping fire crews. This particular mission was a national preservation. We were fighting to protect one of the oldest, most ancient sequoia groves in the nation. In Sequoia National Park that was being burned, and our mission was to protect that grove to preserve it for future generations. So Casey knows that I literally put my life on the line to protect our public lands. So, to criticize me and say I'm anti-public lands is pretty rich.
Has any national media or even local TV station said, hey, this is incredible. You're actually risking your life to fight fires in the middle of the most important Senate race in the country. Can we get video of you fighting these fires? Because this is an incredible TV story that they all apparently are refusing to tell. Anyway, we'll get the answer to that more after this.
When you come to ARCO to take the win with quality top-tier gas, it's kind of like taking the win with the perfect comeback for your bratty coworker, Susan. But in the moment, so you can actually say it, not like 4 days later in the shower when it's way too late, so you're all, darn it, why now? It's the win we all dream of winning. Take that, Susan.
Take the win with quality top-tier gas at ARCO.
Fox News commentary.
The great state of Texas purged over 1 million ineligible people from its voter rolls, and every state needs to do the same. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
I'm Dana Perino, and this is Perino on Politics.
Dana Perino, co-host of The 5 and co-anchor of America's Newsroom, returns to Fox News Audio with a brand new podcast, Perino on Politics. Listeners of Everything Will Be Okay will be thrilled by the return of a familiar voice, but with a fresh spin as Dana guides audiences through the 2024 election cycle. Make sure you subscribe to this series wherever you download podcasts and leave a rating and review.
Once again, red state governors were at the forefront of election integrity and voter transparency. Under the leadership of Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott, the Lone Star State has effectively purged over 1 million ineligible people from its voter rolls since the last presidential election. Of that huge count, over 450,000 names were of deceased voters. The victory for safe and secure elections is thanks to the election integrity bill signed by Abbott in 2021 that requires the Secretary of State to collaborate with the Department of Public Safety to compare information on citizenship status in the database to that of the voter rolls. Oh, and these checks happen monthly. Despite the desires of Democrats, only U.S. citizens should be voting in our elections. These common sense election integrity measures are not racist or oppressive or hard to do, and by the looks of it in Texas, boy, are they working. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Just Tuesday, Wednesday this week, I was out fighting fires in California because our pilots are crewed out. I'm a reserve pilot. So we were normally, you know, for our aircraft, we're protecting communities during an urban interface or we're helping fire crews. This particular mission was a national preservation. We were fighting to protect one of the oldest, most ancient sequoia groves in the nation in Sequoia National Park that was being burned. And our mission was to protect that grove to preserve it for future generations. So Casey knows that I literally put my life on the line to protect our public lands. So, to criticize me and say I'm anti-public lands is pretty rich.
safe to say that none of these local TV stations, 60 Minutes or the Today Show, they haven't even contacted your campaign to say, hey, this is incredible that the candidate in the most important U.S. Senate race in the country is still risking his life to defend our land and fight these fires. I mean, especially the incredible feat that these aerial fires, none of them have reached out, huh?
Well, why would they? It doesn't comport with their narrative. They want John Tester to win. And instead of, you know, these organizations have been attacking my business and my employees relentlessly for the past year, accusing us of being corrupt, a failed business, we're shady, this and that. And it's absolutely disgraceful. Listen, they can attack me all day long. I get it. That's what I signed up for. They can go after me and my family, which they have. I mean, we know that. But when they've started to attack my employees and my company, it's really disgusting. And Montana should be disgusted. The real story about this race in Bridger Aerospace is not that I started a company. It's that our senior elected official in our state and his party and his media establishment have made it their business to assault and destroy a Montana company. Hundreds of Montana employees who risk their lives to protect us every day are being slandered and attacked by John Tester's campaign and his people because they just want to damage me. And it's really sad because these people literally, as you said just a few weeks ago, we lost a firefighting pilot, not from the Bridger team, but the industry lost one here in Montana. We've lost four this season already. It's a very dangerous job, and it's an important job because if you got a fast-moving wildfire coming for your farm and ranch or your homestead, I mean, the first line of defense is the air response. We got to get out there, fly low, fly through the smoke, and protect your lands. And it's pretty sad they've chosen to attack that profession and our company. But it shows people aren't believing it because we're winning.
Yeah, that's right. I love what President Trump had to say about military service members kicked to the curb over these COVID BS mandates and all this other woke garbage. He'll rehire every service member, apologize to them, give them full back pay. He's going to, you know, get rid of any of these senior military brass who push these insulting woke initiatives and so much more. The caller, it was Robert from Belgrade. He had a question for you. Has John Tester ever said thank you for your service at all? Has he ever thanked you for your service?
No, of course not. I thanked him for his service in the debate. If you remember in my opening statement, I said, hey,
I remember that, yeah.
Senator Tester, we may not agree on everything, but thank you for your 30 years of service to the state and the country.
Not in the military, but,
no, but in office.
Office,
you know,
okay.
Thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
You know, he never reciprocated and probably never will, and that's fine, whatever. I meant it when I said it. Listen, it is a sacrifice. I'm running for office. It's a sacrifice. But no, he wouldn't say that, and nor would any of his Democrat media friends, because, you know, they're more interested in the narrative than the truth.
Which is pathetic, because we've had Democrat candidates for office here in Montana who are fellow military veterans, and I remember Larry Gent? Anyway, one of the Democrat candidates for Attorney General was a Green Beret military veteran, thanked him for his service, had a great time chatting with him. We can do that, but they can't do that, and that shows a disrespect, I think, for those who have served. Beth in Whitefish, did you have a quick question or comment? We're just about out of time.
Yeah, thank you. One of the criticisms of new politicians going to Washington is that they say they're going to do all this wonderful stuff, and then they get there and they basically are forced into business as usual and drink the Kool-Aid. And how will you maintain your political integrity when you get to Washington?
Well, that's a great question. We got about a minute to go in the show. Thank you, Beth.
Yeah, thanks, Beth. It is a great question, and it's also a great, not only a question, it's a great statement that we have to have leaders that will have the courage to continue to serve their people, because just like a military officer overseas, your job is to protect your people, fight for your people, accomplish the mission, and fight for your people. Always having to put the interest of your people first. In this case of this race, you put the interest of the people of Montana and the betterment of the nation first. And, you know, career politicians oftentimes lose their way. They're there for 20, 30 years. They get bought by the lobbyist money. I've been successful. I don't need the money. I don't even want the job in the first place, to be honest, as far as I'd much rather be running my company. But this is an important race. The future of the country's at stake, and you can always count on me to do what's right for Montana and the nation.
Democracy 24.
President Harris says her plan to tackle the housing affordability crisis will help boost supply and lower home prices.
By the end of my first term, we will end America's housing shortage by building 3 million new homes and rentals that are affordable for the middle class.
Harris says she'll introduce tax incentives for companies that build starter homes, stop Wall Street investors from bulk buying houses, and provide $25,000 in down payment support for first-time homeowners. As Harris's policy platform comes out in drips and drabs, here's what former President Trump says he'll do.
We're going to open up tracts of federal land for housing construction.
Critics of Harris's plan argue it requires more government spending that would drive up inflation even further. In Washington, Grady Trimble, Fox Business.